Welcome to the homily studio for Sunday, the 5th of October. That's the 31st Sunday in ordinary time. Who do we have in this conversation?
Morena. Oh, no, good afternoon. My name is Kath Petrie. I am speaking from Devonport. My background is in education, but I work in parish now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Catherine Gibbs. I am upstairs at the moment looking across at Te Awa Kairangi, the river, with the new spring green willows bursting out, lining the banks, and I feel very thankful.
Oh, it's all very poetic. It sounds wonderful.
It is. It's beautiful.
Yeah, we're well into spring, moving towards the end of the church's year, and in an interesting environment too, with the stage of the synodality process conclude and the reports coming out. So I suppose it's not too long ago that we only ever would have heard from priests preaching, but here we are operating in a synodal way, so we get to hear perspectives from a great diversity of people. Thank you, Catherine and Kath, for being part of this conversation. And wherever you are listening, you are part of the conversation as well. Let's begin with a moment of prayer, reminding ourselves that what we're doing here is not trying to dissect the readings, but rather listening. Listening for the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to us through this text, through these texts, which are not just for us word on a page, but the living person, the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ, God with us. And so we pray in the entrance antiphon for the Sunday. Forsake me not, O Lord my God. Be not far from me. Make haste and come to my help, O Lord my strong salvation. Forsake me not, O Lord my God. Be not far from me. Make haste and come to my help, O Lord my strong salvation. Actually, that's not a bad beginning, really, thinking of people all over the world who may be gathering for the Eucharist this week, and they are concerned, are worried, are anxious about many things.
Yeah, it's funny how we're talking about ordinary time and we're continuing with ordinary time, but the times are anything but ordinary, given the fact that in our own country we still don't have a government yet. And in the world, your heart just bleeds for what's going on all over the place, you know, particularly in Gaza and Israel, but, you know,
in so many places, I suppose the easiest of those things to sort is the government, which by the time people gather to hear a homily this Sunday may be sorted. I think Friday is the day. We're recording this on Tuesday, and I think all the special votes will be in on Friday. So,
And in the church, we're not in ordinary times either. You know, as you said, John, the synod, the document that's coming out, the address to the people of God, challenging us to be the synod in our own spheres, not just rely on the people who are in Rome to solve all the problems in the church.
Yeah, it's interesting that the synod, I mean, we could easily spend these minutes talking about the synod, but there's really nothing new. It's just something about the way of operating. It's just something we forgot for a few hundred years. And I made a comment in a homily a few weeks ago that our problem was in the middle years of last century, we had too many priests in our part of the world, in Aotearoa. And the problem with having too many priests is no one else is needed to do anything, not even mow the lawns at the church, because the priests can do it all. So we're moving into much healthier times when we're realizing again, as Francis is reminding us, and as we're hearing from the synod, that if we're not listening to everyone, we're not really listening at all.
And these readings seem very pointedly aimed at priests, because the priests in Malachi's time were the leaders of society and still in Jesus' time, you know. And you think about the confrontations that Jesus has been having in the last few weeks with all those groups, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Herodians, the lawyers, and the scribes, that what we tend to forget is that we, the laity, are called upon to be leaders in the church now, in the body of Christ. So it's very important for us that we don't fall into these traps of clinging to our titles. You know, I'm the parish secretary and I'm the secretary of the parish pastoral council, and, you know, believing that because of the title, as Jesus says in the gospel, that all I have to do is expect people to respect me.
I was thinking, you know, on the 1st of October, which was the anniversary of the death of Mary Hohepa, Suzanne Aubert, that she wasn't a cleric at all, but she was perhaps one of the greatest leaders the church in Aotearoa has ever had. So we see leadership there in someone who was often in tension, actually, with the designated church leaders, but whom not just the people of the church, but society of the time, they knew her to be close to God, to be a great leader. Catherine, I can hear you just ready to jump in there.
Yeah, well, I'm just ticking over around, you know, one of the messages is around walking the talk. And the sign of a great leader, I think, is someone who walks the talk and keeps walking and doesn't give up and shows just simply not by by their words, but by their actual, the way they live, is they have the integrity, you know, that is what we're supposed to be living. And we're just chatting before about the state of the world and in the state of the church. And for me, one of the words that comes through all of the readings is around a dislocation of the self and God and others, and that if we don't walk the talk or, you know, practice what we preach, we're a divided house. We're divided within ourselves. And the only way to kind of rectify that is so beautifully put in the psalm, you know, about peace. In you, O Lord, I have found my peace. Is the message that Paul's giving in that second reading about, well, using that gorgeous image, I was going to come to that later on, but the beautiful image of the child nursed on the mother's lap, and finding true peace simply by being with God in ourselves and finding God in others.
I love the way, Catherine, that you've made that beautiful, like, being at peace within ourselves. Because, of course, the problem with jumping to the gospel reading, with not practicing what we preach, is that we are divided within ourselves. So the one who preaches, who speaks and who practices the same life is someone who is healthy, is someone together, is someone who is integrated. And so the problem with, of course, Jesus' reminder is, you know, listen to what they say, because their words are usually on the right track.
Yes.
Very careful if you're following what they do, because that's where we really struggle. But this is a problem not only when we're acting out, but it's within ourselves we feel a tension. And that's maybe the place where we need to resolve this first, is making sure that we are at peace within ourselves. To quote the psalm, we find our peace in God because God brings us together. That's why when we take time to pray in stillness and silence, all of the unresolved stuff comes into our consciousness. It's often not a pleasant experience, but it's a facing of the reality and becoming aware of the ways in which we need to be integrated.
Yeah, I hadn't recognized before, but the link between the word integrated and integrity must be, I'm not a linguist, but it means the same thing, really.
Mm. When we are wholeness.
Integrated in ourselves, mm. we demonstrate true integrity towards outwards, mm. outwardly.
And that's not always easy to do. You know, it's something that we aspire to, you know, to walk the talk, to practice what we preach. But we're human beings, and so we fail. And how do we get back again? I'm reminded of a homily that was given in our parish last Sunday. Neil was talking about his experience as a chaplain in a prison. And, you know, obviously recognizing that people do fail and often fail in big ways because they've ended up in prison. But one person who was listening to the homily said, well, you know, you can only do so much because eventually the water bottle, you know, you can pour out the water bottle, but eventually it's going to be empty. And where do you get water from then? And somebody else said, well, you go to the fountain. And yeah. The fountain,
yeah,
it's, you know, in you, Lord, I have found my peace.
I think that's one of the things that this synodality conversation is reminding us, is to go to the fountain, and we should therefore listen to anyone who is at the fountain. But the problem is we forget the fountain and we follow a designated or an appointed leader, and that's our problem. But the call for every person is to live at the fountain, and then we will be more able to recognize whether or not what someone else is saying is authentic or real or on the right track. So every person needs to be at the fountain. It's not just we forget the fountain and follow what's written in the book, but we live at the fountain ourselves. It's a lovely image. John the 23rd, I think, who said the church is called to be not a museum, but a living fountain.
And that takes the humility that comes through from these readings. You know, in the first reading, the priests of Levi are so filled with their own importance that they won't accept second-rate animals for the sacrifice, and they're showing disdain for the rituals. And then in the psalm, the psalmist reminds us, Lord, my heart is not proud. And Paul is, we were gentle among you, you know, and then again, the greatest one must be your servant. So it's that act of humility. And humility often sounds a bit Uriah Heepish.
What do you mean?
You're humble servant, you know, in David Copperfield, Uriah Heep. But in fact, it's a very positive, it's a positive dynamic that prevents us from setting up the inequalities that exist everywhere in our world, and more and more so.
It was Christ who said, you know, learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. And all his stories, all his parables demonstrate what he means by what it is that we're being sent to do and be and live. You know, the forgiving father and the lost sheep and Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and you can go on, you know, the Good Samaritan. All his stories to the apostles and all of the people who were listening to his stories were being given the way, you know, they were being told, this is the way you're to live. And when you live like this, you will find me and you will find peace. But it's so hard, isn't it? Like, so basic things like, I'm just hopeless. I go shopping and I come home and I look at something I've bought and I think, what were you thinking of? You bought a pair of shoes. You don't need these shoes. It's just, we just get distracted so easily from the real thing.
Indeed. Sonny, I was looking at a reflection that came online, a university course in America where they invite the students to live like monks for 1 month. Now, I don't know if that was literally in every way, because the part they focused on in the article was doing without technology, doing without phones completely for a month. But what they were trying to do is to declutter. Now, the odd thing was that this university course, I'll attach a link if anyone's interested in reading, this university course was sold out. Like, it was the most popular course at the university. Oh. There seems to be a real hunger. Now, I don't know what the success rate of people living like monks for a month was, but certainly the desire is in healthy people to declutter. That's why some of the TV programs about decluttering. Who was that woman that became
Marie Kondo?
That's right. Oh, that's right. The decluttering. But I've had a little experience of doing it recently. I, over the years, have collected a lot of books, and I've even read some of them too, but anyhow, they all sit there. And I decided I don't need these. And so I did have a major declutter, and I felt nervous while doing it. And someone came to pick up the books because I was giving them to a secondhand Catholic bookstore. They came to pick that up. And when they drove away, I just had that moment of nervousness, and it lasted for about 10 minutes. Since then, which is now a month ago, I'm fine. I actually feel lighter. I feel freer. So I'm going to go through the wardrobe and go through the other parts of the house as well.
Yeah. Well, that's one good thing about doing major home renovations. You do. And you think you've decluttered. And then when you come to put things back, you think, why did I keep this? You know, I don't need this. So it's a second decluster.
So how do we decide? Like, I like the image of the decluttering, and certainly it connects with the readings focusing on what is essential. How do we decide what to hold and what to let go of, what to keep and what to discard?
I think if I was being really serious about it, my criteria would be, does this thing improve my relationship with my best self, with my God, with other people, with the planet? And unfortunately, that degree of seriousness doesn't happen all the time. You know, it's just it's my aspiration.
Yeah, I'm a bit like Kath. I hope I'm not saying and not saying and not doing what I'm saying, but it is aspirational. But it is what I spend my time doing and being, getting in the way of my encounter, which is Pope Francis's big word, encountering other people. And if it is getting in the way, like keeping my house tidy and clean, rather than catching up with my neighbour who I know isn't very well at the moment, then I need to change myself. I need to look harder at my relationships with others and move away from my relationship with my stuff and my time. How am I using my time to live the way my faith teaches me to live? Rather than how am I using my time because I want to get something done quickly, or, you know what I'm saying?
Catherine, I think that's a great point you make. You use the phrase relationship with self or relationship with stuff. And, of course, a common thread through the scriptures is we can only have one relationship. Like, what is the one? What is the one center of your life? And if our relationship with our stuff or our relationship with our desire to acquiring stuff is central, well, we cannot serve two masters. And it's not that we're being disobedient to God in that. We're not listening to our true self. Your term earlier, you know, my true self, Kath. We're suffering when we're when we're in wrong relationship.
And often the stuff contributes to that image of yourself that you would like to be seen by the world. No, so the new shoes or the new wooden floors, you know, it comes back to the gospel reading, all their works are performed to be seen. And I seized on that word perform because I think of acting. And of course, the Greek word hypokritos is what gives us our word hypocrite, but it means an actor. So maybe because the actors wore the masks, and so our stuff contributes to the masks that we wear in various with various people, but it doesn't enrich our true selves or our relationships.
Now, what a great image for the day, Kath. Like, we're recording this on Halloween, and tomorrow is the Feast of All Saints. And of course, it's a very Christian celebration, Halloween, All Saints Eve.
Yeah.
But it's to help us to see the masks, which are a theme of Halloween, like people wear masks at Halloween, and the facing the reality, which is All Saints. So, you know, this is a great week in which to be having this reflection, because by the time we get to Sunday, of course, the great feasts of All Saints and All Souls will have been celebrated. But that's the context that we're in as we near the end of the church's year. Like declutter, like make this a spring cleaning. And of course, in the Northern Hemisphere, it is springtime. So they are, that spring cleaning is going on. We don't quite get the same image here because we're entering summer, but to discard the masks, we don't need them. Let's see ourselves and others and God as ourselves and others and God are, not our images of them.
I busy not myself with great things, nor with things too sublime for me. In you, O Lord, I have found my peace.
That's perfect. Yes. I was going to just about to ask, oh, which English poet are you quoting, Kath? And then I realized there it goes. It's in our Psalms. It does sound a little English poetish.
Yes. Yes.
The translation I have is, O Lord, my heart is not proud. This is the Psalm for those who are listening. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor haughty my eyes. I have not gone after things too great, nor marvels beyond me. In you, O Lord, I've found my peace. Truly, I've set my soul in silence and peace. You see, the silence and peace is something that's really difficult if we're trying to hold on to fantasy and mask wearing, because silence and peace brings us back to our reality, which is why it's so important.
When do you ever take the mask off? Which you have to do to approach the silence.
And then.
The other two images, and Catherine mentioned one of them before, come from, for me, the psalm and the second reading. The psalm says, like a weaned child on its mother's lap. And then Paul talks about, we were gentle among you as a nursing mother cares for her children. And I find myself thinking about weaning my children and how difficult that was. You know, it actually nursing a child becomes very easy, I suppose, as a woman. It's second nature. It doesn't work for a lot of people. For me, it was really easy. But weaning the children and still, you know, they're still, let them know that they're still treasured, but they can't have that essential food anymore. Difficult. I have stilled and quieted my soul. I remember people coming to the door that I'd never seen before, and I would give them a bottle of milk and say, come and feed this child. Because I couldn't be near them. I couldn't be near the children.
So a take home. What would your take home be if you were reflecting with the congregation that you know Sunday? What would you want them to go home with?
Well, given the scriptures of today and our conversation, I think it wouldn't help, it wouldn't hurt for people to do some self-reflecting, to see the scriptures as an opportunity to ask myself, how well do I walk the talk? How well do I encounter Jesus Christ in the other? And maybe that image of that quiet image of that baby being nursed and finding an inner peace by acknowledging that Christ Jesus is the one that I'm to imitate, that I'm totally interconnected with and integrated with.
And the way of Christ Jesus that we're asked to follow is a journey towards inclusiveness through kindness and mercy and respect, not through hierarchy and systems of domination.
And self-righteousness.
And self-righteousness.
I think if I were preaching this weekend, I would want people to understand that it's not an external law of God that we're following, but it's something that's built into us. So the desire, to use the terms we've used, to be uncluttered, the desire to be one person, to be integrated, is within us. It's built into us. And so while we might hear it in the Christian and the Hebrew scriptures, we hear it too in the depth of the heart of every healthy person, even if they call themselves agnostic or atheist, or even pagan. This is a healthy human desire. And the fact that we hear it from God in the scriptures is a reminder that people who desire this, you know, to live with one center, to live as people who know that we are being fed, that's a healthy human desire. It's not a Christian add-on. Let's take our thoughts to prayer. Aware that the conversation continues as we listened and as we work and drive and exercise and spend time with our families and in our workplaces, Jesus is communicating with us, perhaps prompted by something that you've heard in this conversation. As we pray in the collect, the opening prayer for this 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time. Almighty and merciful God, by whose gift your faithful offer you right and praiseworthy service, grant, we pray, that we may hasten without stumbling to receive the things you have promised, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.